on a recent episode of Mirai Breakfast Show, the director of drug control at the CID raised concerns about raising drug use among South Sudanese youth. So the discussion sparked strong reactions, prompting us to dig deeper. And today we speak with Boniface Dukua, clinical psychologist and program manager at HealthNet TPO, who highlights the toll of addiction and untreated mental illnesses. He warns also that many suffer in silence due to lack of support and urged the government and partners to establish a rehab center and psychiatric hospital. Without this, more lives risk being lost to the streets and isolation. He spoke to me yesterday.
These issues of substance and drug abuse, including alcohol, has become actually a very big problem, as already asserted by the CID focal persons in South Sudan. And you will realize already that it has actually become a very big problem, and it's of a public health concern. There are quite a number of different substances and drugs that have been basically abused by adolescents, the young people, in the current situations, more especially in South Sudan, in the Juba town, and then as well as in other major cities, of course, in South Sudan. And among them is this marijuana, there's this cat, what they call marunji, there is this ice, and then most commonly including other drug-associated things like those. Tramadol is becoming one of the most abused drugs for young people as well. And then even these local, alcoholic drinks as well, the situation is very alarming. And if you really go around Juba town, and at least in every block, there are a group of really young people who are, at secret places using those drugs that you can see very openly.
Right. And according to the findings, substances like ice, 5, Mira, Tramadol are becoming so popular due to their intense effects and also low cost. So can you help us understand what makes these drugs especially dangerous from a psychological and behavior standpoint?
Thank you very much, Magdalene. Drugs are just drugs. And, normally these young people begin to use it for many other reasons. And if you begin to ask and interacting, and there are several causes, of course, that normally push these young people to be able to abuse this drug. And some of these causes are basically, from different levels, from social perspectives, from interpersonal perspectives, cultural, environmental, and actually family factors. And mostly, research and evidence has shown that most drug use normally start at teenagers. Teenagers begin to use them from the age of, 12 to 17 and above. And some of them can even start much more earlier than that, from 9. And if you move around now, you could even find children as young as 9, age 8, 8 years old already have started abusing drugs due to pleasure, that is driven from it. Because when people will begin not to feel well, the first day, people or individual try to use a drug, is unpleasant. It is really not good. The test is not fine. But as time goes, the second, the third, the fourth time, and then they begin to drive a pleasure out of those drugs. And that is actually what maintain people and the young people to continue using drugs. Or drug abuse can also be socially learned, through drug user groups, members, and they are easily exposed to some of these drugs, and they are easily accessible, as you said, So this kind of pressure from friends who abuse those drugs, including even the frequent escalation of these drugs and their experiences, may actually continue to appeal to some of these people to continue using these drugs.
Right.
And then, possibly, the curiosity, arising from, current differences. For example, public media, they have a lot of influence for these young people. Mm-hmm. And especially when you look at, how those alcoholic drugs, some of these drugs are being advertised, especially in the social media, in the televisions and all that, it's a kind of trying to, cause a lot of curiosity in these young people. And then, most importantly, You know, growing up in a single-parent family, research has shown that a child who has basically no parental guidance, parental support is not there. They are not being supervised. So meaning that they are there, they are free to experience anything because there is no guidance that is given to them. Once you start taking drugs, nobody can tell in the next few months, in the next few years to come, that you can go down spiral and become addicted because of the different personality trait that we have, because of the different genetic matter from an individual. You will never tell that somebody tomorrow will become addicted when he starts, you know, testing any of this drug now. One last important thing is, you know, some people have a lot of frustrations in their lives, and, you know, that can lead into distress and depression to begin taking drugs, you know, because they want to experience a relief or pain that they had been undergoing through because of the frustrations they are going through, because of the depression and all those issues surrounding social life. You know, mostly, you know, from, you know, those prolonged kind of pain, people will begin to use drugs.
Right. You mentioned a point about addiction. Let us talk about the addiction. From your experience, how does drug addiction affect mental health, emotional regulation, and even social behavior among people who are using this drug?
Yes, I think that is really a good question. You know, drug addiction, of course, is a disorder. And as I mentioned at the beginning, that, you know, addiction becomes, you know, as a way of, you know, the craving body cannot do without, you know, the drug that is there, because it has developed what we call tolerance. And tolerance is one of the important, you know, aspects and signs and symptoms of addiction, addictive disorder. Because in this way, somebody begins to drink today only, you know, one will actually start with a thought. The first day is a small thing, a small test of that drug on a single one, or a small puff of a marijuana. Just small that. But time will come, the body will begin to develop a kind of tolerance, what we call tolerance. Now, the effect of that same amount of drug that had been taken yesterday will never be enough today to be able to raise up, you know, the satisfaction that the person will derive from that drug. And then in addition, the other thing is the withdrawal syndrome. Psychologically and the physiological symptoms actually that are observed when drug use and the behavioral patterns of this person will be discontinued, basically. And you find that, you know, for example, a person who is addicted in one way or the other, who cannot do without a drug in their blood, each time, you know, a sudden stop of this drug in the body can cause what we call the withdrawal syndrome. And then in addiction, there is that escalation of use. It escalates slowly, as I explained. The first day was so little, and then the second other day is more than what was there in the previous, and then it continues like that. And this is a person who used to take over weekend, but now graduate, slowly into every day, drinking in the evening, and then it escalates into a time where every single day and every single moment, this person wants to be using drugs. And this is one of the important signs and symptoms of addictive disorder that people normally undergo when they develop that kind of drug addiction. And then despite even the adverse effect, they feel that indeed I need to do something different. I need to stop this, but they cannot do that, because each time there's a little voice in them that will ask, put my drug here, put my drug into my mouth. My blood needs my drug. So it means they are more vulnerable now. It is because it is the drug itself that is speaking in them psychologically, and that makes them uncomfortable until they get that kind of drug. Mm-hmm. And then time and effort are most spent, you know, in acquiring those drugs. You know, any other individual who is on a drug addict will ensure by all means that they are able to, you know, possess that drug at that particular time where they need it. And what does this mean? It means a lot. It means a lot. It means that if there are no means available, so any other means, including criminal activities, will be employed here to be able to get, you know, to be able to acquire and to have the drug at hand so that they can be able to use. Another important aspect is that there is the significant social or occupational activities that are given up, meaning that if this is an employed person, he will have less time to pay attention to his or her work. because most of this time he actually has been thinking, even if this is a person who is in an office, already the body is demanding that this person will get out of the office to be able to look for where he can get the drug at that time for him to be able to function.
Now, yeah. If we have some of these people in our community that they are going through this addiction and we would like to help them, where can they go to access services that may help them to stop this issue of taking drugs?
Yeah, I think this is really important question, Magdalene, and that is really what is required. But unfortunately, I think in South Sudan, I had been searching around and trying to even connect with colleagues, you know, because the most important thing, these people can only benefit when they are taken into rehab centers. We do not have any rehab center available here that is established yet. One other important thing is because these people need to be monitored, they need to be engaged in a lot of activities, and that is what we call, they might need to be taken through what we call CBT. And CBT is all about cognitive behavioral therapy activities that might actually last for several months with several kind of session in between to be able to help these people. But for now, I am aware that there are psychologists and some few psychiatrists at Juba Teaching Hospital, especially the unit of psychiatry at the Juba Teaching Hospital, and some few psychologists are there that can be able to actually provide any support to people with drug addiction problem. And we have also, you know, a group that we have tried many times, but then that is what people need to be thinking very loud, especially other, you know, partner organizations that have mental health domain in their programming to be able to look at that. But I think what is important for now is the resources that would be required to be able to put all those in place.
Can you mention these people that people who have addiction problem, maybe can reach out to them if you have their consent, maybe to mention their names or their clinics or their offices or where these people can go to them?
Yeah, I think for now I work for HealthNet TPO, and I had been doing this for some many years for some other people, but the only time is I may not be able to have that continuous time to be able to provide that kind of support. But yes, based on discussions and how to be able to support people with addiction problem, I will be able to provide that. And then there is one psychologist, also called Imoju Emmanuel, I think, who is a clinical psychologist with in-depth knowledge and skills on how to support people with addiction problem. What is only, you know, lacking is, you know, importance of this is spaces where, you know, these people can be staying in, because what is important is to be able to really help somebody come out and cut that kind of addiction. He need to be isolated from, you know, the colleagues, from the community, from the friends that they used to have, because it can easily, even if somebody who is coming out can easily be tempted to relapse, to begin taking the drugs again. And once taking a, you know, relapsing is just a second. Once somebody who is supposed trying to come out of the addiction process, and once he starts only one day, is enough to take this person back into his previous stage. So the importance of these rehabilitation centers, if they can be established within the country, I think that would be an important thing. And if that initiative can be put in place, that would be really great.
Now, one last question before we conclude this interview is about the issue of stigma. Do you think stigma is still a major barrier to addressing addiction openly? Because some people, they really want to come out and they want to say that I have this problem, I'm so addicted to ice, I'm so addicted to 5 or Mira, but they cannot come because of the way the family members or maybe the community will look at them. What do you say about this issue of stigma surrounding issue of addiction?
Stigma everywhere is seen as a barrier, a bigger barrier to access to services and access to treatment, especially when it comes to issues of mental health, when it comes to issues of drug addiction. So basically, one important thing is addressing stigma is the most important thing. And this requires a lot of awareness raising within the community and actually at the family. Stigma happens at the individual level, and that need to be addressed at the level of the individual person and try to help this person to overcome his own self-stigma. Because if that is done, very well, then the other levels of stigma actually can be addressed.